Hello, and welcome to Gravel Bits, a place to chat and have a few sips. Today is May 19th, 2022, and it's Bike Month. Thanks for listening.
Very nice. I'm Caitlin, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
And I'm Kelsey, and my pronouns are also she, her, and hers.
And today we have K-beers.
Yay!
Unfortunately, I decided to get sick, so I will not be drinking tonight, but I have had one of the beverages.
Yeah,
So Kelsey is going to drink them, and I'm going to add whatever I can.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. So
Caitlin has enjoyed at least one of them, so she's had to get it a second time. So
yeah, so I bought them like ahead of time, trying to like plan ahead. And then our friends stopped over, like they biked over one night, and I was like, well, these are the beers I have. And so we drank them.
Oops, sometimes that'll happen.
It's pretty great. We know at least 50% of the beers tonight are good.
That's good.
Yeah, so we're starting off with the Fuzz, which is a peach Kolsch ale. So this is kind of a change for us. So I thought Kelsey would be proud of me for mixing it up.
I am.
And this is from Millstream Brewing, which I believe is pretty local to us. I believe they're
in Knoxville.
Okay.
Or were Knoxville.
I thought they were by Cedar Rapids, so I'm way off then. I'm mixing.
Manna.
Manna Colonies, yeah.
Yep.
There we go. Yeah, I remember stopping there when I was at internship over there.
We'd like to cheers to the sheep for their wool, the shepherds for their dedication.
And the sheepdogs.
And the beer that keeps the world happy.
Yay.
Woo, beer.
And why Kelsey sips. It is a orangish can that kind of like fades to
like a
light orange.
Almost, no, it goes almost to like a yellow.
Well, there, yeah, there's some yellow over there.
Like a red to a yellow with a really cool fade.
It's kind of fun.
And it's perfect because it's the Fuzz. And it's got these little wavy lines. It's actually really good. And my first one wasn't a sip. It was more like a couple of gulps. But it's pretty good. It's nice and light. It's got a little bitterness to it with the hops. So it's got a good hop profile. Probably why you like it, because it kind of borders that pale ale kind of line.
Nice.
Enough like fruit. It's really good.
I wonder if this is like one of those few beers that Brian and I could both drink.
Oh, definitely. Because I think Brian has had a couple IPAs where they've been on the fruity side he was okay with. I think he would like this one.
Nice.
Which I should text Cole and see if he wants a little try of this one.
I was just thinking if Brian's dealt with bedtime, he could take a sip. Because this is one I haven't tried yet. But I'm excited to try it.
It'll be a good one. You'll like it.
And Brian has magically appeared, so I think he's willing to try it.
Sure.
You gotta get closer. It didn't want to open.
That was a good note sound, though.
Tell there's some sort of fruit. Peach, yeah. Yes. That is peach. As advertised.
Oh, I can smell it.
It's very, you smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's very peachy. It feels like there's a, like someone put a ball in my mouth. Like that's it, like it fills it voluminously.
Big mouth feel?
Yes, definitely big mouth feel. Mm-hmm.
And that's good. I don't want to use too many buzzwords, but it's very nice. I think one, possibly two, would be all you would want of this. It's very peachy.
I would agree with that.
It's a Kolsch. You know it's fun because it has an umlaut. Anything with an umlaut is deserved to be drank.
For our audience, what's an umlaut?
Oh, those two little dots over a letter? Makes it an ooh sound. I mean, that's what it should be, like a koosh.
Ooh.
That's usually why it's like an ooh now. Because that's what I was told. If I'm wrong, write us in, put in the comments and how full of S Kaylin's husband is. Which is very possible. It's a 90% possibility that I am full of it at all times. So
it's quite possible.
But the fuzz, very good. Would recommend 3 out of 5. Good. Not 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5, excuse me.
It sounds like a better rating.
Perfect.
So I guess that just kind of leads us into shoot in the shoot.
Yeah. you kind of were talking about bike riding, so did you want to start us off?
Yeah, let's go ahead and start there. I kind of mentioned at the start that it's bike month. Yay! So there are a lot of places are doing a lot of biking activities, workplaces and different communities and such. And there's a guy that runs a page called Bike Iowa that's very much an informative group or an informative page about bringing bicycle awareness to Iowa, whether it's people riding their bikes or people around bikes or, you know, anywhere that bikes go. And one of the things that happens every year during Bike to Work Week, which this is in Des Moines, is a ride of silence. I think I might have mentioned this last year, but there's a ride that we do every year to recognize and honor those who have been killed or injured in bicycle accidents, whether it's car, bike accident only. Anyway, that happened last night, and there were, I'd say, at least 100 people or so that showed up and rode the 7 miles around downtown Des Moines to bring awareness to bicycles in the community. There's currently a law that's trying to be going into legislation for a safe passing law that would treat bicyclists like a slow vehicle that you have to give a wide berth to.
I like it.
Yeah. So hopefully that passes. We'll see what happens. Sorry, I just got really heavy there real quick.
It's all good. I think it's really important to talk about, and I don't know, we're about all the whole spectrum of life, right?
It's true. And, you know, there's, you know, both of us, biking is a very big part of our lives, from the everyday to the leisure to, you know, racing and everything in between. And being able to be out on our bikes safely is really important.
It is. So. I so badly want to commute to work. Oh,
you have a really good, you would have a good chance of mostly trail, sort of.
We will have to map that out tomorrow then, because I did map out a driving way, or not driving, but a road way to do it.
Let me, yeah.
And it was only 5 miles.
Yeah, that's not hard at all. I am hoping myself to at least commute a couple of times this summer. I know that's not a whole lot compared to some people, but
adds up though.
It does. And for me to drive to work each direction is about 17 miles. If I ride my bike, it, the safest way is about 18 miles.
Yeah, that's for me, that's a whole day of biking. One way.
I can do that, you know, in a little over an hour, but that's a good amount of the day on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
But if I lived close, it was 5 miles away, definitely would be happening. We will work on that for you.
I'm excited. I feel like if I can do it a few times on one of my bikes, then it justifies me getting an e-bike. And then, like, I could pull the trailer with the e-bike to work. And
pick Breaker for off the way sure.
Because that's the other factor, is how to pick up my child in time.
Right. Now, that has definitely been on my mind, too, is, you know, I do think there's a good place for an e-bike, especially with commuting, especially with, you know, pulling a trailer and all that. You know, even if you took the trailer to work, you know, have the extra storage space.
That's true. That's a good point. So I don't have to, like, stuff my coat clothes into bags, I could just
put it in the trailer.
Yeah. I love it.
Let's see what we can hook you up with. All right. So yeah, I've been riding bikes a lot. I did my first longer bike race last weekend. Did the Indy 50, which was a 3-person team event.
Cool.
And it went really well. Last year, we did this last year. Last year it was Cole and I and our friend Erica. This year it was Cole and I and our friend Barb, 515 Barb. And we're all pretty good paced together. And we started off pretty well, stayed together pretty well. Unfortunately, Barb was having some issues, some stomach issues.
Oh.
Yeah. And she tried real hard. But it's so hard when you start off negative calories. And you can't keep anything in, nothing's staying down. Yeah. It's hard to keep going. And so she pulled the plug at the halfway point. And Cole and I went ahead and finished out the route, which is my longest bike ride of the year so far.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I really needed it, and I should have at some point ridden that prior to then, but, you know, things happen and I didn't get there. But compared to last year, I took half an hour off my time.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm really happy with that.
That's awesome.
It ended up being a gorgeous, gorgeous day. About 84 degrees ended up being the high or so that day. Not a cloud in the sky. That was a nice day. Yeah. So lots of biking. More biking to come this weekend. Mm-hmm. How about you? What's going on with you?
Oh my goodness. All sorts of things. Lots of biking. I think I'll start off out of order here. So Tuesday, because this, I'm really excited about this.
Well, Tuesday was one of the best days of the week. So
that's true. Yes, it was my birthday. So that was cool. And then the weather was really nice. Well, it actually looked like rain, but never rained. Or not a whole lot if it did.
It sprinkled.
Yeah. Which we were in the mountain bike trails in the forest. So half the time you don't even know it's raining when you're in there.
Right.
But yeah, so Brian's parents were able to watch Riker. So Brian and I both could go and join the bike group with the Big Cock Bike Shop. And we did the most I've ever done in there. So we did Demons, and then we did the both sides of Squirrel.
Oh, it is Squirrel's Nest.
And then we also did Purgatory.
Okay, so you did Squirrel's Nest and Purgatory. You did not just Demons, but you did Center Trails.
Yeah. Yes, so that was fun. And I had done the east side of Squirrel, but I had never done the other side or Purgatory at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. That one's really fun. There's a lot of like hilly things.
So that, remember our race? Part of those were on our race.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was a lot of twisting and turning it up and down. That's one of my favorite parts to ride over there.
I liked it.
Yay.
Yeah, so that was fun to try something different, and that's the furthest I think I've ever mountain biked.
How far did you guys get in that night?
Over 13, which...
Oh, good. That's a lot for right there.
Which 2 miles of it, I think, is like going from home to the bike shop to the trail, but still.
Still, that's, you know,
yeah,
for right around in there, that's a pretty good amount.
So that was super fun. And so we all meet for dinner after, and everyone's talking about how wet their feet were. And mm-hmm. I like split second decision decided to put on my DK shorty socks.
Oh, nice.
The only person that didn't have wet feet.
Nice.
And there was someone there that had wool socks, but they were like store-bought. So I'm like, look at that. Look at me go. I chose the right thing. Cause half the time I have to like text someone in the group and be like, what am I supposed to wear tonight?
It is such a hard decision. It is so hard trying to figure out what to wear.
Yeah. And it's not like, once you're out there, like even when you start, you can kind of now know, but it's so hard beforehand. Cause right? I know like if I'm a, like when it's colder and I'm a little chilly when I start, I know that's good. Mm-hmm. But like making that decision at home before I leave is, I don't know.
It's always a difficult one. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better.
Well, and now that we're getting into warmer temperatures, it's so easier. Much easier.
Yeah.
Do I wear sleeveless or not sleeveless today?
Oh, and it was so cool. Like the grass is high in there. And like I was wearing shorts and I kind of like that. Like the grass like brushed against my legs. I don't know. Like I don't think I rode it all in there before when the grass was that high.
Yeah, a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, at least not that high. But yeah. So I kind of started, other than the one time I rode with you guys, I basically started in the winter.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I gotta get back out there with you. I finally have my mountain bike ready to go.
Nice. I will probably still use my fat tire bike. But
oh, that's still good.
Let's see. And then I also biked on Sunday with our friends Mel and Eric, and we pulled the trailer and we were switching off. And we biked from here to Waukee to Mickey's for breakfast.
Nice.
And that was fun. There's like a hill that just never ends.
Oh, yes.
So we did that and we split it in half. So I did like, let's see, what did I do? Oh, you know what? I didn't. The plan was to split it in half and Brian did the first hill and then Mel's like, I'll take a turn. So I guess I didn't have to do that. That was the plan though, and I think it was a good way to divide it up, because like there's the first part of the hill is a little bit steeper and then the rest of it there's like a million lights in the way, so it's a lot of like starting and going, and so they both kind of have their own challenge that wear you down. So
okay,
yeah, so it's kind of a good way. We're kind of finding that if we switch every 6 miles instead of one person on the way out and one person on the way in, we're a little faster.
Oh, really?
We can get more miles in. We switch more frequently.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
Then you're not just, like, dragging on.
Which, our group is really great. Like, everyone's pretty laid back, and we wait for each other. And I think most bike groups are for the kind of stuff that I do, but...
Right. Oh, definitely.
Like, actually, on Tuesday, when we were biking, everyone kind of took a break, and they're going to... start in the purgatory one, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm gonna jump ahead because I'm really slow, and I didn't really want a beer break. And so I heard them coming up, like I pull off to the side and they're like, no, we don't care, go, you can go in front of us. Oh god.
On Tuesday night group, I typically end up being at the back as our sweeper and kind of making sure everyone's okay and makes it to the end. And this week I ended up being our leader.
Nice.
Essentially. And I was like ahead of everybody for 95% of the ride. And I was like, this is weird.
Yeah. I tend to like to be near the end so I can make sure everyone's in the group. And I don't know.
I don't like feeling rushed.
Yeah, so that's those things. And I would have done a lot more biking this week. We had a lot planned, but really on Monday morning, my side started hurting and I figured maybe I just slept on it funny or like when I was biking, I did something. But I made it to the gym before I realized it hurt. And then I got to the gym and I was like, oh, I can barely do a sit-up. So I shouldn't do the working out thing today. Yeah. And then Tuesday like was great. I worked out in the morning and everything. And then that night like was terrible. When I woke up at like 2 a.m. just miserable. My side hurt. I was aching everywhere. And like Brian was like half asleep and I kept asking him to like help me with things. And I still tried to go to work and I made it half a day. And I was like, this is not, I don't know what's going on. And that's when I should have gone to the ER. But of course I was like, I probably just pushed too hard. So I'm going to go just lay down. And then by 3 o'clock, I was texting Brian. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And like, I have a telehealth app.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on there and they're like, yeah, go to the ER. I'm like, okay.
Like,
so like at this point I thought I was at like my, like I was crying. I just was in a lot of pain. I was like, okay, let's go get help. And then we go to the ER and end up waiting for 5 hours.
Did you have your knitting with you or were you too pain?
I did, but pain? Like I couldn't knit. I couldn't even look at my phone. Like I gave my phone to Brian because they had like had text alerts on my phone. I'm like if we had a doctor assigned or whatever. And I'm like, I can't even keep track of my phone. Like I was like rolling around in pain. It was.
No, that sucks.
And like there was people that were waiting, like some of them said they were waiting since 1.
Wow.
And like we kept checking, being like, hey, where are we at? And there's another time we walked up and I was like, can I go back through triage again because I'm feeling a lot worse. And so they took my vitals again. They're like, oh yeah, your fever's up. And then she had to take my blood pressure twice because she thought it was weird. And then we got in after 5 hours.
Jeez.
And like, by the time we saw the doctor, I was like falling asleep on the bed because I finally had a bed. Because like the couches in there are like, they're like benches.
Like they are like benches.
Yeah. So like, that just sucks. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what to say about it, but it just sucks. Like the ER is just not like, it's not fun. And I feel like every time I've been there, I've always had to wait. I don't know. Once we were in there, we received fantastic care. The doctor was really nice. Our nurse was fantastic. It turns out that I have a bladder infection that was spreading to my kidneys.
Man.
So, yeah. It's just weird. Like, I really don't feel like I had an indication other than Monday. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just glad you're starting to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. So today I slept all day. All day. But it's probably more story than you guys wanted to hear, but that was
the day after my reality.
But I think I'm on the mend and the doctor said I should feel better within 24 hours, which I guess technically when she told me that it was 1 a.m. So
maybe so, yeah.
Tomorrow morning
I would think tomorrow you'll have a better idea.
Anyways, I think this has been one of my longest update sections.
It may be. That's okay. It's called life.
Thanks for bearing with us or bearing with me. But I don't know. I had to talk about the socks because I was like, socks.
Yes.
I think we're ready for announcements.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Year-long fiber challenge is happening.
It sure is.
Don't forget to use the hashtag GravelKnitStash. And then we also have the submission form linked on our website and on our show notes.
And we
feel free to join us anytime. Sorry,
go ahead. We had 2 new people jump in this last little bit since our last episode.
So fun.
So now in addition to us, there are 7 people.
Love it.
Shannon and Em are still going back and forth.
That's amazing.
And as a group, we almost have, we are into the negative yardage now as a group overall.
Thanks everyone for doing better than me.
And me.
I'm pulling the average up. That's impressive.
It's really awesome. It's really cool to see. I'm kind of thinking of going back and doing some stats afterwards to see like how many yards we had for each month or something. Just kind of see as a group.
It'd be so fun. And we could post a graph on our Instagram.
Yep. We're going to do it. Look for that in the future.
I love metrics. They're fascinating. I think that's all we have for announcements tonight.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yep. That's all we've got.
Cool. Well, Kelsey, what have you been listening to?
Well, Caitlin, I listened to a new one this week. It is called Seltzer Quest.
Such a fun name.
It is. It is kind of cool. So this is actually one of our listeners' podcasts, and I'm not going to, you can go find out for yourself. But they listen to our podcast and got an idea for their one of their episodes. So a little background is that there are these three people that end up doing different reviews of seltzers. Join Merlin, Derek, and Em as they embark on a quest to find the true meaning of seltzer. So it is a YouTube audio, but it also put it out as audio. I have to jump in and watch it on the YouTube sometime. But on their latest episode, they reviewed the Toppling Goliath seltzers.
Yes.
Which I have not tried those yet.
I, until you told me before recording, didn't know they had any. So definitely have to try those out.
It wasn't until their podcast that I knew that they had those. So looking forward to them. So yeah, go check out a Seltzer Quest.
Yay. Thank you, Kelsey.
You're welcome.
So Kelsey, what's brewing?
What's brewing? Let's see. What did I put down here in my notes? Ooh, okay. So let's see. I think we can go down the list as much in order as I can. I am mostly done with my cheeky soakers. I just need to...
They're so cute. That blue is so gorgeous.
I wasn't sure if I was going to have enough green or not, but I think I'm going to go and put some little green legs on.
Cute.
And then like wrap it up with blue cuffs. So it's for those of you that can't see, it's striped in the Watts Yarn Sapphire colorway and a dark green. It's the Cheeky Soaker by Megan Christensen. And I can't wait to, I just need to finish this. This is going to a mom and a baby. I have a whole little set going and I need to just get them all finished up.
Yay.
So I needed to do the legs, cuffs, the eye cord for the drawstring and sew that down. Then they'll be good to go.
Oh, you definitely have to stop by tomorrow. I'll give you my eye cord machine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And if you bring the yarn, we could even try to do it.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Sounds good.
And I might have something to add. We'll see.
See if I can get your mail, your present out of the mailbox.
That's kind of funny.
Okay. The next one I'm going to talk about, I started yesterday going to the Rider's Islands. I wasn't sure if I wanted to have knitting with me or not. I wasn't sure if we were going to stop and have a beer or dinner or anything like that. So I was like, I really need something easy that I can pack. So it's like, okay, I don't have any socks or hats that I really am interested in working on. So I cast on a new sock and it's really cute. And one of the things I have been wanting to do, I've been reading someone's an archive of a knitter's blog recently, and I wanted something with some lace. The person's blog was getting me interested in some lace knitting. I don't know how well you're going to be able to see it.
Oh, I love that. The color's so pretty, too.
And it's actually showing up. Oh, there we go.
Wow. I love how that's your easy project.
Well, I wanted something that was... Oh, hey there. Look at the stitch definition there. Yeah, I just wanted something that was a little harder than vanilla. This one is, it is, while it is lace, it's mostly, knit, slip, knit two together, yarn over, something like that. It's okay. Really simple. It's got, I'm doing the size, okay, so it's called the Cozy Autumn Socks by This Handmade Life, and it's a free pattern. I know for sure on Ravelry, and I believe she also has a website, and I've linked to her website, and I'm not sure if the pattern's free on there or not.
Okay,
but it is out there. It's called the Cozy Autumn Sock, and it's got two sizes that it's written for, 60 inch and a 72, I believe. Or 60 stitch and 72 stitch. So a size 8 inch and a size 9 inch circumference. And it's really easy, like 10 stitch pattern repeat. Like it's a nice little, like almost braided texture to it. It's really cute.
Super cute.
I'm using Cascade prints, Cascade Heritage prints.
Okay.
And I know that the number is like 101. And I saw something. It was like pink and ash. And it's kind of cool. So it's not quite striping, but it is striping.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a random order.
I like it.
Yeah, it's cute. It's got like a light pink and a gray. And it kind of reminds me like ballet shoes.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that out of the colorway. So I have a question on your sock. Are you going to try to make like matching or sister socks?
They'll be sister socks.
I would do that too.
Yeah, I think with this, since there's no like, so far I haven't found an end to the repeat. There's no way. They'll be good enough if they're match or close sister socks. But I'm really liking this. I'm using the Chowgu minis, the ones that you have.
Cool.
I've never knit socks on Chowgu's before.
Okay.
At least not circulars. I've used their DPNs and I've loved their DPNs. One thing I really like with them is that they feel a little bit sturdier than some of the others.
I would agree with that.
And I don't feel quite like I'm going to like bend it and then, yeah, exactly. I don't have it in here, but I've been making a point to work on my granny square thing. Might as well just call it granny square blanket at this point, because my intention is. But I've been making it a point to spend at least one day a week working on it as my main project of the day.
Cool.
And I've added 2 or 3 more minis since the last time we recorded.
Very nice. And at this point, how long, like how far can you get with a mini since you're getting bigger and bigger?
I aim at just about a round and a half.
Okay.
It's not going to be long before it's a round and a quarter. But at this point, each round is taking me quite a while. And I haven't actually done a lot of it where I sit down and just focus on it for an entire round.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea how long each of them are taking me, but quite a while.
That's been super fun. I like it. I'm surprised there's not more projects that like we see out there like that. We're just one giant granny square.
I think there are some. Maybe we just don't.
Oh, I'm sure there are some. I just haven't really seen.
But I think there are, you know, a lot of people go for like the granny stripe blanket more so than like an actual granny square.
Mm-hmm.
So that their stripes can all be the same and you don't end up with this side of the stripe being one thing, this side of the stripe being another thing.
No, I like that. I think it's interesting. It's a character.
And again, I'm using all Fiber Nymph Dye Works minis at this point. And it's really kind of cool. Ooh, that reminds me. I'm going to have to go grab something I want to show you later.
All right.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, though. At some point, she's got some, like, half-skein sets in her store right now. And I'm really tempted to buy one or two of them to use as the border for this. Because I know at that point, you know, a 20-gram mini isn't going to make it all the way around. But a 50-gram would.
There you go.
So that's one of my thoughts. I just need to see if it's still there when I have the money. let's see here. What else is on my list? Oh, I've been spinning a lot lately. Right now, I'm doing a long draw spin on some Charlet in this really pretty. Its colors are the rainbow, the gray sky, like a stormy sky is what it is. It's got like a rainbow color that's a red and yellow, orange, blue, slight purple, and this gray. And it's really pretty. And going so quickly and I'm in so much love with it. I can't wait to go. I'm going to go work on it after we get done.
Nice.
Yeah. It's nice to, I think I'm going to try to do Tour de Fleece this year a little bit again.
Okay.
And spend every day of the Tour de France, whether it's on my spindle or my wheel. So I want to kind of finish up some things, get some things off, and just get back to spinning again. Anyway, the one that I was working on, I want to show you. I'm at the end of the row. This is the slipping sideways sweater.
Looking lovely.
Yeah. It is really fun. It has, you work the front and the back panel as two separate pieces in one direction. And then you pick up stitches on each of the sides. And then you work those kind of side to side and connect those. And then later you come back to the bottom and pick up stitches for ribbing at the bottom.
Okay.
And ribbing on the sleeves and the neck.
That's cool.
So I am almost done with the second side.
I love how this, that striping like contrasts on the sides like that. That's fun.
Oh, I know. It's got a really cool, so the reason it's called slipping sideways is it's got a couple of different slip stitch textures throughout it.
Okay.
So if you look real close, see how.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of looks like it's woven a little.
Yeah. That's neat.
And there's, like I said, there's three different slip stitch styles throughout it. I have done one modification because they have you bind off. Or no, they have you join the first side and then come back and reconnect and do the sleeve later after joining the second side. And so I just decided to join the side, do the sleeve all in one thing. So I didn't have to come back and weave in all the ends later.
That makes sense.
So now I just have one more of one and a half more of the side repeat to do. Another sleeve and then all the ribbing all the way around. I started that right before the new quarter for the Fire Nymphs Myomal Make It Your Own Make Along started. And so my theme is in existence. And so it's anything that existed, whether it was in my stash or my whips or my queue library, etc. And so this was in my stash prior to existence and my pattern library prior to that. And so it's like, oh, this works well.
Very cool.
Nice, yep. It's a nice little, essentially going to be a t-shirt. I can't wait for like September when it's going to be cool enough to wear it again.
Mm-hmm.
Although if I finish it up, it maybe might be cool enough this next week. It's supposed to cool down.
There you go.
I think that does it for me.
Nice. Doing lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little, like, here, a little of this, a little of that. That's where I've been lately.
I think that's where I am most of the time. Except for since I've been test knitting.
And then you're just, like, oh, zoned focus. Out, man.
Laser focus. So I will start with my test knit. I'm doing the Megaliths T test knit for Kino Knits. I'm doing that in the Heiko Sueno tweed. And I'm really enjoying it. I am now on to the third color. I don't think I'm done with color one because I think we do a little bit on the sleeves.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But it is really fun, and it's, I'm really glad that I did it with the tweed. I think it adds some interest to the non-color work sections. And I'm excited to see how the purple and the brown get along, like looking at it now. And it is, I'm in a little bit of dim light, but they're a little close.
Oh, hold it up to the computer.
I don't know what you can see.
Oh, that's better. Oh, I can see that. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure I'm still going to like it.
I think you will, too.
They're a little bit close compared to how I did, like, the socks.
Did you originally have it as a brown, or was there a yellow that you were looking at before as well?
I think I was looking at a yellow too.
Gotcha.
But I just love the brown.
Yeah, it's a really pretty brown.
Yeah, which I'll have to look at the fiber content, but I will definitely be making something with what's left of that brown.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, but I am enjoying it. It is going pretty fast. Especially for, I haven't really spent a ton of time, like large chunks of time on it. It's just when I have a few minutes here, a few minutes there.
Well, and as you said, when we were getting started, you know, that one by one color work is quite addicting.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It's so fun. I'm excited to be able to get back to my, gosh, what was that tea called?
Your outline?
Scraps. No.
Your sea glass.
Yeah. I think I'm really going to enjoy it when I get back to that.
Oh, goodness. Yes. I was looking at mine and I'm about ready to go pull it out and finish it up.
Yes. Yours is so pretty.
I'm about ready to go on a finishing spree. I can feel it.
I'm hoping that I will be able to finish some things after I finish this. I know I talked about this last time, but I have been working on my Planned Parenthood dishcloth.
Yay! And
I just want to kind of keep putting that out in the world. That even we can even knit and help do things. So I'm working on that. I started off with black and like this cotton candy. That's the name of the colorway and line brand, Re-Up. And then once I got to the widest point, I switched to the aqua to go back down on my decrease end.
Okay.
So then it has all the colors. So I think I might do another one with white instead of black. I don't know. We'll see. Oh, I'm just going to make fun. As many as I can until I send them off.
Nice.
And that's hanging out on my fat bike. So when we're waiting for dinner after mountain biking, I can work on it.
Oh, I love that. That's perfect.
And then I started a new project this weekend.
So is
it Saturday? Yeah. We did so many things on Saturday. So Saturday I asked Brian and Riker what they wanted to do. And Riker said he wanted to go for a walk and Dad said he wanted to get ice cream. So we all went and got ice cream. And I like ice cream, but I don't know. I'm weird. Sometimes I really don't.
Nope. I'm right there with you. I'm not a big ice cream. It's not a big draw for me.
So we walked down to the Dairy Queen. And I was like, I could do a walking knitting project. And I have a fanny pack from the Lemon Ride. So I just threw in, I didn't write the yarn brand. Lion Brand's Re-Up in the colorway Saffron. And I just started another traditional just cloth. Because I didn't want to like a whole double situation. I just want something really easy. Goodness,
right.
So
what needles are you using then with that?
Straight needles. I think they're size 7. I meant to look and I didn't. But
do your straights fit in your fanny pack?
So far, I won't be surprised if they're going to poke a hole in it. But
you could just get some.
I've done that a few other ones.
Needle tips, maybe.
I probably should. And I have plenty of circulars. I could just throw a pair of circulars in there too. But at this point with these, like I don't actually count once I start decreasing. It's just when it gets to the length of the needle, I'm like, oh, time to start decreasing.
So, I like that method.
That's my method. As little thinking as possible, but I'm still getting to knit.
Yeah. Oh, and that's awesome.
So much cotton yarn to get through. Kind of off topic, but I was looking at poofs today. And I guess a lot of those poofs, like those, like they can either be like a end table or they can just be like a footstool.
Okay. Gotcha.
Round poofs. I was like, I could probably do that. Like a lot of those are knit out of cotton.
You could definitely do that. Although your poor hands, if you knit something like that out of cotton.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's an idea. I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon, but it could be fun. I don't know. We have enough furniture too. So yeah. So I think that's mostly what I've been working on. Everything else has been hanging out.
You haven't touched your garter squish?
No.
Oh.
It's sitting there looking gorgeous. So I'm excited to jump in on that though.
Yeah. That's Maybe I'll have it done in time to use it this year.
Yeah. If not, that's okay.
Okay. So, what's on tap? Do you have anything this week, Caitlin?
I do not.
Okay. I have got a couple things.
All right.
And mind you, I still need to weave in ends on a couple things, but I'm calling them done at this moment. This one, the ends are woven in, but I just need to grab some buttons and sew them on.
Okay.
And these are things I'm probably going to do this weekend. Like I said, I feel a finishing kit coming on this weekend. This is the Julian vest.
So cute.
Yeah, it's by Rhea Berdrovich. I have a link to my Ravelry project. I could only find it on Ravelry. But this is going to go with the cheeky soaker. And it's adorable. And it'll have little buttons that come over the top. It's a little V-neck.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll go there with buttons.
That'll be so nice for taking it on. Mm-hmm. Putting it on, taking it off.
Okay, so the pattern has the option for buttons or seaming it. And I figured with the buttons, it would be a little easier for, like, you know, putting it on, taking it off.
And it'll be cute.
It's a little V-neck with a little lace pattern on the front. The one modification I made was to do the lace repeat one extra time. So it has about an inch and a half longer than this. I think I did the 6 to 12 month size. So it could be worn this winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be a little bit longer.
Excellent.
Yeah. So excited to have that one done. Then for the mom, I actually can put these together now. And mind you, I still need to weigh all these things and put them into the competition. Yeah. But I've got a pair of slipper socks.
Those are so lovely.
Oh, I put them on my feet, so I'm going to swatch them yet and send before I send them off. But 100% making my own pair.
I did print the pattern out yesterday.
Nice. You're going to love it because you'll make them for you and you're going to make them for Riker and you'll probably make them for your family for Christmas.
Did you use a worsted weight yarn with nylon or just normal?
Let's see. It might just be normal because this could be fun. It does have a nice little like slip stitch pattern to the bottom.
Makes that it gives stronger. It
some, yeah, it gives it a little extra reinforcement and gives it some cushioning. It is a 100% superwash merino.
Okay.
So no nylon. So they might wear, but I figure with them being like a house sock, it's okay. They're probably not going to be worn quite as often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are super fun knit. Those are by Kate Dossman. And she just has that up on her blog as a free pattern.
Just super cool. And she's got lots of lovely pictures on there.
Yes, she does. That's now the second pair I've made. I know there's going to be more in my future. And like I said, I still need to weave in on ends on this other one. But I'm going to go ahead and count it done. I finished the pockets and everything. Yay! Of my Susie cardigan. And it's everything I hoped for. It fits pretty well. The bottom flares out a little. And that's okay. Because it's mostly just going to be worn around the house and the office. It does. So the cable kind of acts as the saddle shoulder piece. And the only thing I wish a little different was the height of it. I wish that was a little bit longer. But it was really quite nice.
It looks lovely.
Super soft. I use the Cascade Eco Plus. And Boysenberry. And it is perfect right now. I think it's probably going to pill a bit, but I kind of expect that. But I made a couple modifications. I added the thumb holes And I extended the sleeves so that I could have extra long sleeves, like they come down past my fingertips. And I added the thumb hole, added pockets by picking up along the button band. I just need to tack those down, but hey, I got a little pocket.
Aww.
They're kind of tiny. So that's one thing I want to work on in the future is figuring out how to make like a nice big pocket. And if I would do it again, I think I would bring the pocket a couple inches back.
Okay.
But I had never done a pocket before, so it was kind of a fun experiment.
Yay.
Yeah.
And you could still like throw some car keys in there.
Totally. If I can whatever. I want to be able to put my cell phone at least part of the way in and my car keys. And it's golden. Yeah, my cell phone will fit just fine.
Perfect. Then that's already a pretty functional pocket.
Totally. And it does add a little extra, like, around the hips, but I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
I don't know if we have pockets in our checklist. We'll have to put it in there.
Oh, that might not be on there. You're right. But so this one I still need to add in there, too. But I know it's over 1,000 yards.
Nice.
So, yeah. I think that does it for me.
Very nice. Very productive.
It has been a very productive time. And there's just a few more things that are going to come, like, barreling off the needles here, I hope.
That Stein is getting ready to find its new home.
Getting closer and closer.
Closer and closer to Kelsey's.
Before we get going with stash enhancements, mind if we open beer number 2?
Yes, you read my mind.
Perfect. Nice.
So this is from Kinship Brewing, which is not far from us. Waukee, I think, is where they're
at. Yeah, no, you could totally, you know, if you've ridden to Mickey's, you can totally ride to Kinship.
And this is their dark lager. Can's kind of neat. It's almost maybe retro. Is that the right word?
Oh, definitely kind of. It's very sleek.
Yeah.
It's almost got like a pinstriping thing going on.
Yeah. And the brewery is really cool. They have a whole area for dogs.
They do. They were the first brewery, at least in Des Moines, that was like very big into the dog thing. There have been others that, you know, are very dog friendly, but this one like caters to dogs almost. Anyway.
So what do you think?
It's good. I always really enjoy a dark lager. They're very unique. You don't see them often. And crazy enough, like I'm not a big like malt fan unless it's meant to be malty. This has a really good, strong malt flavor to it and has that light body, just like you're drinking a lager.
Yeah.
It comes in at 5% ABV, so very sessionable, very drinkable. It makes me happy to have. This is actually one of the first time I went there, I tried most of their like flagship beers. And they were pretty brand new at the time. And this is probably the best beer that I tried that they had on their menu.
Nice. Glad you like it. I really like it.
Definitely a good one.
Yeah, good. I like it. It's super drinkable. It's got a lot of flavor.
Definitely good.
I definitely need to try more of their beers.
I would like to go back because when I went, they definitely had the like brand new brewery taste to them. In a lot of ways, like they're trying to break in all their equipment. So everything is very sterile, if you will, to start with, if it's brand new or, you know, just getting used to a system and what's put on it. But when I tried it, it was still very, most of their things tasted very similar. So hopefully they have been able to work that out a little bit.
I don't think it does anymore.
Yeah, because... That's very
good. I tried a few of their IPAs and I really liked them.
Good. It's pretty common for brand new breweries to all be kind of similar until they work their way in. So definitely worth giving them another shot. Okie dokie.
All right, Kelsey, what's hopping?
What's hopping? Stash enhancements. Well, I was poking around on Instagram one day, and I knew there was probably going to be something coming out from Fire Nymph for the splash pad party for Down Cellar Studio. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to keep my eyes open. And I happened to catch a post from Adornment, who does stitch markers and progress keepers and stuff, okay, primarily. Well, they teamed up and they did a kit that's called Mermazing.
Oh, that's cute.
This is their exclusive kit to the splash pad party. What I have is a project bag and yarn and some stitch markers. But what that means, if I use any of those products, it counts X number of points extra towards my entry on splash pad party.
Okay. Nice.
And so the project bag is really cute. It's got little mermaids on it. It's
there's even a pirate mermaid.
Oh, there is. Ooh, and check this out. It says Splash Pad Party 2022.
Is that glitter writing?
Is it glittering? Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
It's glittery. What do you call that? Yeah. So that's super cute. I love it. It's a perfect size. Like, it'll fit probably a couple skeins of yarn in it. And it came with a sock kit, if you will, that has a self-striping colorway and two minis that coordinate with it.
It's lovely.
And don't worry, I need to add these yet to my total, too. But it's really pretty pink and a light green and a darker green and a darker pink and a yellow. I'm so excited to make something of those. And the stitch markers are cute. It's got a nice little... Oh, there it is.
Oh.
Mermaid's Progress Keeper.
It's cute. Oh,
there's another one. Ooh. I've really been liking Progress Keepers for keeping track of things. I've been putting one on my blanket to see how far I've been making it every week. Oh, no. Oh, whew. Glad I didn't just drop it out in the bottom. Oh, yeah. Let's see if she'll...
Oh, cute. So shiny.
Oh, it's so adorable. Yeah, I managed to score one of those off of Adornit's website. And I think Lisa still might have one or two on her shop site.
Cool.
So, yeah. That is my stash announcement.
Excellent.
I have nothing. That's okay. Sometimes it happens.
It is. I need to start knitting my stash down. So here I go. I do have two orders that are coming in, and I wasn't 100% on the yardage. So I actually haven't recorded those yet, whereas I usually record them the second I buy them.
Gotcha.
So I'm excited to talk about those when I get here.
Well, I can't wait to see them.
Kelsey, got any hangovers?
I do not. Do you?
I do not either. It's going pretty good, I think. So then I think that gets us to our topic today.
I would believe so. Would you like to start us off?
Sure. So I've been kind of intimidated to talk about this, but I do think that the more perspectives you get, the more helpful it is. And Kelsey and I are thinking this may be a several part thing, but we are going to talk about reading your knitting and kind of some different tools you can use and ways of thinking of your stitches to help you do that.
Correct. And so, like Caitlin said, I think this is going to be like kind of a sort of multi-part thing. And we'll start tonight with a couple more basic ideas, but just the general idea of how to start reading your knitting or why you would want to or what's the point. So we'll start with that. What is the point of being able to read your knitting? Is it beneficial?
Yes. Why?
Yes. Yes, definitely. It is definitely beneficial to be able to read your knitting. And I did a little poking around on the internet, as you do. I mean, obviously I know a lot on my own on how to read my knitting, but it was good to have some idea too. But one of the big parts of being able to read your knitting is just knowing what you're doing. What are you doing? What stitch are you making? What are you? You just set you down, you're knitting. Okay, what do I do next? Where did I leave off? For instance, Caitlin does a lot of marking on her project or on her patterns of where she leaves off, right? So like when you get through something, you mark it down. Okay, I'm done with this. I am going to leave it here, blah, blah, blah. And that is absolutely a 100% wonderful, good tool. But what happens the time that you forget, you know, you get distracted, you set it down, you didn't have a chance to mark off what you had just done? Well, now if you can read your knitting, you might have a better chance of knowing what you're looking at. Let's see.
I think something to add to that too is it does just help make like knitting your project while you're knitting it easier. So even if you know where you're at, when I can kind of look or feel at what I'm knitting, I'd be like, oh yeah, like my last stitch was a knit, so I know I have to purl now or something like that, instead of having to constantly look stitch by stitch on your pattern or having to count all the stitches over, especially like my sweater. I think I'm at nearly 300 stitches around right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get stuck and I have to go all the way back to the beginning of my round, that's not very fun.
Right.
And probably exactly. Something I'm not going to even trust my count the first time. I probably have to go twice to like be like, oh gosh, what am I on? So just being able to look at it and say like, oh, okay, my last increase was, let's look, okay, 4 stitches ago. So then I can go from there and figure out where I need to be. Or if I'm looking down on my previous row, it could just make it a more enjoyable experience.
Right. So you mentioned one good thing there that I was going to bring up is, you know, you're looking down rows. Okay, so you made a mistake 3 or 4 rows ago. Do you necessarily want to tink back each individual stitch for those 3 or 4 rows? Or is there a way that you can drop down those couple rows and fix it? Which that is a whole nother topic for a whole nother day.
But good to hint at.
Right. So that's something that we could venture down eventually here. So one of the first things I found was, you know, being able to tell, okay, what is the difference between my knit stitch and a purl stitch? Am I doing it to the front? Am I doing it to the back? If you look at all your knit stitches, you're going to have a little V at the bottom of each stitch. So if they should all line up, little Vs all in a row. If you're going along and you have a bump in your stitches, then that's likely a purl stitch. Every little purl stitch is going to have that bump on the front.
And I don't know if this is the right point to add it, but something that kind of has helped me with purl stitches. Sorry to interrupt you, Kelsey.
No, this is
a big epiphany for me. So yes, you have that bump in front, but you still kind of have that loop underneath it. So that's still all part of the same stitch. That's not the next knit stitch. Like the next knit stitch, you'll see the whole V.
Correct. Yes.
So if that perspective helps anyone, it made a big difference when I finally realized that. So I didn't want to throw that in there. Okay. Sorry, Kelsey, go ahead.
No, you're good. That was a perfect spot for that.
Thank you.
You're right. There can be that kind of like loop, if you will. It's the top of the stitch connecting underneath.
Yes.
But every time you have the bottom of that little V, that's going to count as your one knit stitch. And if you could always reverse it and go to the back side of your fabric and see the little purl bumps to know the difference. I moved my notes.
And I think I interrupted Kelsey on it, but like your knit stitch, your yarn is typically in the back, whereas your purl stitch, your yarn is typically in the front.
That is correct.
Typically.
There's
different ways to do those stitches, but
most often that's how it's gonna, the basic most common ways, that's probably how it's going to be.
Let's do it.
So you could be knitting along, and often if, as we said, a typical knit stitch will have your yarn leaning one direction, all stitches will be going the same direction. Sometimes instead of knitting through the front loop, you'll end up going through the back loop and you'll have a twisted stitch. where it's going to come over and cross. That's going to give somewhat of a bias to your fabric if you keep going with it. It will always kind of look like it twisted over.
Yeah, and so it won't lay as flat.
Correct. And so it's going to want to twist back on itself. What happened there is you probably just knit through the back loop rather than the front loop, which sometimes is actually necessary and called for. Mm-hmm. I picked up an old whip and I was going and looking at and trying to figure out what the pattern was because I had no clue. And I finally decided to pull it off the needles. But what I had done is I had knit through the back loop on all my stitches. And this was when I was beginning to learn how to knit. So okay. No one told me I was knitting through the wrong spot and all my stitches were twisted.
At that point, it's just a like technique choice. You're good. Just
exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Counting rows. There we go. If, say, you're looking at all stockinettes, so all of your rows have been, you have knits. The knit side purled, or knit side towards you. Mm-hmm. You will have a little row of Vs. They will all line up one on top of the other. So if I line them up and go 1V, 2V, kind of like snowshoes a little bit for skiing. One thing you can do is you can kind of take a little needle, if you will, and run under the middle of each of those stitches. And you go under and count 1, 2, 3, 4. You'll be able to put your needle underneath and see how many times the yarn comes in front of your needle. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of count 1, 2, 3. And at the bottom of each of those Vs, it counts as your row of stitches. One way to keep track of it, we have row counters, or you can mark them off on your pattern, or sometimes you can take a running stitch of yarn, or a running yarn, if you will, so a contrasting color, something of a similar weight, and knit those 5 rows and push the yarn back as you're coming through, knit 5 more and bring that yarn forward. Be one way to kind of count through each of those.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You can also do it with like lashing stitch markers.
Oh, that is true too.
But don't do the circle ones because then you'll just knit them in.
Yes. Do not knit your circular stitch markers into your
knitting. Make sure that they can come out. I think one thing to add to the rows, which may be common sense to everybody, but you know, I like to make all the mistakes. When you're counting your rows, the row on your needle counts too.
Yes.
Right? So like I'm doing my Megalis T right now and I've got 4 rows before I change on my color work pattern. So if I count like my rows up, I want to make sure to count the row that's on the needles. Because otherwise I've actually done an extra.
Yes, you're correct. That is a good point. It took me a long time to figure that one out.
Good, I'm not the only one.
No, you're definitely not. So that's where we're coming in, that at the bottom of your needle, so at the base of your needle as you're looking at it, the stitch, that's the bottom of your V. So that counts as your first one. Mm-hmm.
And then I guess on the other end on your cast on, you don't necessarily count the cast on. You go after that. Because that's the cast on.
Yes. Although sometimes, and I hate to throw this out there, sometimes when it comes to measuring things, that's going to come into play. Well, we'll go down that one a different day.
Yeah. No, it's good to, there's always exceptions and caveats, and it's good to know that there are those things.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I think that was our kind of our big starting point.
Yes.
Kind of squeezed in the points that I wanted to in between yours. We would love to hear what everyone else uses to do too. So let us know, like, if the loop behind the purl, like if that's something you learned, or if you have another like trick or way to describe a stitch, I'd love to hear it.
One of the things that I'm thinking of now, like some of the gauge or the needle gauges have like the little magnifiers in them that are really good for helping to increase seeing where your little V's are.
Nice, great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if, like Caitlin said, if you've got a great tip or a trick that is something that helps you to figure out what you're looking at, how to read your knitting, go ahead and let us share with us. Let us know what you have to say. I did put a little poll out on our Instagram today, but last I checked, nobody had answered it. So we'll see. Right. Simply, can you read your knitting? So, yes, go ahead. Let us know what you think, and we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, you know what's something I was going to also say? Now that we had this perfect end, another reason why it's important to be able to read if your knit stitches are twisted or not is, at least I have done this several times, where the needle has gotten pulled out of my knitting.
Oh, yes. And
generally when I'm putting my knitting back together, I'm just trying to catch all the loops and hoping that I'm catching that whole row. So I'm not worried about so much about which direction those stitches are coming on. And then when I knit that next row, I kind of go through and correct it.
That's a very good point. I use that a lot too, where it's just like, I'll haphazardly just put them back on the needle, and knowing which way it is on the needle makes a difference of how you can actually go back through and just recorrect it as you're knitting along.
And I do think it's a little easier to see once it's on the needle, which way it.
Oh, for sure. Right or not. I have definitely found that picking them up is often easier the wrong direction than the correct direction.
Yeah, totally. I was like, I wasn't sure if that was just me or not, but I'm like, yeah, most of these are wrong, but I'll just fix them.
Nope, it's definitely easier the wrong way.
Well, I think that's a really good start to this, and I'm excited we're doing it. I've been intimidated, but I think it's going to be fun, and I'm really excited to hear what other tricks people say.
I'm glad you brought it up, because this honestly just brings up a whole new rabbit hole.
Yes. Excellent.
It has some great ideas for where to go next. So keep on listening for continuing to read your knitting.
Kelsey, do you have any IRLs?
IRLs. I learned how to make cocktails.
Ooh.
For Mother's Day, I ended up going out to my parents last weekend. We celebrated late. But Mom and I had taken a cocktails class a while ago, and she wanted to recreate those cocktails. She's got some friends who love having their 5 o'clock cocktails when they're up there visiting, and she wanted to be able to bring a cocktail this year.
Okay, cool.
So from that class, she found a couple of cocktails that she really, really liked and wanted to be able to recreate. And was like, okay, I'll learn to make these and I'll make you your cocktails.
Such a fun Mother's Day activity too.
It was. So we went for a bike ride, and then we came home and did 5 o'clock cocktails. And I did everything straight down to infusing the liquor, which has been fun. It's been an adventure. And created the cocktails for Mom, and it was fun. Yay. It's been one of those bucket list skills. So I finally have all the things I need, like a shaker and a jigger and the spoon for stirring and all those things. So it's been one of those things I've wanted to cross off my list. Now I can. And I just want to keep practicing.
Well, I volunteer this podcast as an opportunity to practice.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. We should do on-air cocktails one night.
That'd be fun.
I think that's probably my IRL. How about you?
Thanks. Just wanted to talk about my birthday a little bit more. My biking friend, Leah, also works out same gym as me. That's actually how we met. And I got to the gym on my birthday, and she had decorated one of the walls and, like, bought me balloons and a crown. Or a tiara, I guess.
Was that the pink one in the kitchen?
Yes.
It's very cute.
And So I coached that class, and then the next class had me wear it during the workout. And so it was just super fun, and just, I don't know, it felt really good to get a fun surprise like that.
Aww.
It's a big deal to me. So I thought it was really cool, and I already talked a lot in the beginning about stuff, so I wanted to make sure to just throw it out there that it was nice. It was really cool. And she also got me a pizza bag for pizza bag? My bike. So it's
it's a slice of pizza. Yeah.
And it's just, so my fat bike, the bar actually goes down a lot, so there's not a ton of room above my water bottle, because that's where mm-hmm. it would be. So I actually have it like on top of that bar. But it works for me.
That's what matters. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I can't wait to see your pizza bag. So cute.
And then I get to the bike shop, and Jerry's like, yeah, bring your bike in here. I'm like, okay, why? He's like, Leah bought you a fender. So she also got me a fender for my bike, which was way too generous. But still, thank you. And it looks really cool. And yeah.
Well, that'll be really nice come the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if you were going to commute to the office in the winter.
Yeah. Keep me a little cleaner, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to, I don't know, say thanks for people being awesome.
Yay!
And I hope that I can pay the favor and all the surprises for somebody in the future. I think that's all I got, Kelsey.
Very cool. Well then.
Knit all
the things.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and on Tap as Gravel Knits. Our website is gravelknits.com. You can email us at gravelknits@gmail.com, and you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/gravelknits. Thank you to our current and new listeners.
You can find me, Kelsey, on Instagram and Ravelry as Bikes Brews Use, and Untapped as Kelsey J.
You can find me, Caitlin, on Ravelry and Instagram as Caitlin N. Lloyd. Please message us to let us know what you'd like to talk about, and we'd love to hear what you think of the show. If you like the podcast, please share it with a friend.
Gravel Knits believes everyone deserves to be included and loved, regardless of who you love, beliefs, color, size, your gender, or whatever else makes you you. Please keep in mind that we are human, and while we are trying to educate ourselves, there is always more to learn, and any critiques are deeply appreciated.